Get us going quick. Good evening. This is Mike Manjos, Chairman of the Board of Finance. Today is May 14th, 2020, 6 o'clock on the dot. This is a public hearing to receive input on the fiscal 2021 budget for the Town of Monroe. Other Board of Finance members, everyone is currently joined in listen mode. Please allow me to confirm the presence of the Board of Finance members. Members, when I state your name, please respond in the affirmative. John Ozyshevsky.
Here.
Greg Hirsch.
Here.
Rebecca O'Donnell.
Here.
Dan Krishanthi.
Here.
Steve Kirsch.
Here.
I hereby declare a quorum and call this meeting to order. I would like to recognize and confirm that we also have First Selectman Ken Kellogg present.
Ken Kellogg here.
Right. Copy of the agenda and related materials have been posted and can be found on the Monroe website for public inspection. Please allow to provide in... Public hearing is being conducted remotely in compliance with Section 1 of the Governor of Vermont's Executive Order 7B, dated March 14th, using free conference call technology. Using this technology, the public has participated in real time via telephone using access information set forth in the meeting agenda. Notice is hereby given that only 1,000 participants may access this electronic public hearing at any one time. Access to this meeting using this technology is granted solely by the technology provider on a first access basis, is not controlled by the Town of Monroe. While it is anticipated we will not exceed this participation limit for this meeting, should it appear we are approaching said limit, any member of the person is denied access to this meeting, the chairman retains the right to adjourn the meeting and continue the meeting at a later date using technology appropriate to ensure all members of the public may participate. Please take notice of the following regarding this remote electronic hearing. This meeting is being conducted in real time. This meeting is open to the public, that any member of the public may listen in to this meeting anonymously. This meeting is being recorded, and while you have joined in listen-only mode, once recognized to speak, anything you say may become part of the recording. That the recording should be posted on the town website within 7 days. That the recording should be made available to the public within a reasonable time. I will be opening the lines for real-time public input. However, prior to doing so, I will first read into the record all written submissions that have been received by the Board of Finance as of 5 p.m. this morning. There are 51 submissions, so please have patience while I read them. Once I've completed this process, I will be opening lines for anyone who wishes to speak. Okay. April Mignone, 40 Crestwood Road. Due to COVID-19, I strongly believe that the funding for Monroe schools not be cut. COVID-19 will likely be here in the fall and winter. What plans will Monroe schools implement next school year to address social distancing and academic gap that will occur as a result of this pandemic? Will class size be smaller to ensure social distances and extra intervention teachers to address the academic gaps? Aaron Hayden, 143 Greenwood Lane. It is frustrating to read comments about how we have the highest mill rate in the state. Mill rates are public, and you can see that we are not the highest in the state. Although our taxes are high, our schools are amazing. With winters being easier and the shutdown slowing things down, I do believe the town could work to give us a zero increase for the once in many years I've lived here. We do need to give a concession to businesses to move to our town and give them a tax break now, so in the future they are on our tax roll. We have plenty of empty space and land that these companies could take advantage of. We must be the diamond in the rough and get a big, medium-sized, and small businesses to want to be in Monroe. I am interested to know why we can't add trash to the recycle and not make money for our town as well. Most of us pay around $35 a month for trash, and I'm guessing if you sign up the entire town for trash and recycle, we'll make the town money and save homeowners money at the same time. From Pat O'Hara, 282 Shelton Road, Monroe. Dear Board of Finance members, I offer these comments for the Board of Finance public hearing. As town treasurer, lifetime resident, and a business owner, treasurer's update: dramatic changes continue since the emergency Sunday rate cuts were made by the Federal Reserve on Sunday, March 15th. The stiff rate, which is the primary source of investment income for the town of Monroe, has fallen from 0.83% April 17th to 0.7% April 20th. As I have previously reported, we should expect stiff rate to fall, which will dramatically reduce the investment income from the 20 levels. Additionally, since the Board of Finance has indicated their interest in using the designated fund balance and the possibility of a lower collection rate, there will be much lower levels of cash to generate investment income. The board should see around $35,000 from existing Janie Montgomery Scott interest plus cash on hand. The cash on hand typically has a high point in January and July as tax collections commence. of around 50,000 when Stiff was at 2.4 in July of 2010. The town earned 65,850. By this July, the Stiff rate will most likely be under 0.50, and the town anticipates a 10% drop in collections, which translates the interest income falling by 80% monthly as compared to 2020. Income investment decline on a monthly basis will be exaggerated as designated fund balances are utilized to supplant property tax revenues. Finally, while other opportunities may present themselves for investment income, the town's liquidity concerns prevent me from taking advantage of any investment opportunity which requires any type of time commitment. I will continue to communicate with the board as we work through these challenging times. Other comments on the budget. I believe the Board of Finance lowering the property tax collection rate is a prudent decision, but fails to go far enough. While many property taxes will be collected over time, I think the board should consider there are a large number of businesses that will never reopen and that all personal property taxes associated with those operations will never be collected. As I look at the Monroe business community, I see 100% of the businesses affected. I'm guessing that 25% have been full shutdown. I further guess that these shutdowns will see a 50% reduction in revenue or a significant increase in operational cost as the shutdown continues. Even the strongest businesses will be weakened. While I commend the current idea of a zero tax increase, I do not think the board is going far enough to address our current situation. I believe the board should explore cuts to the existing budget of 5 to 10%. I did not make this statement previously or without the understanding of what such costs will have on services. There are a number of facts as a town we must come to grips with as we are consider our future financial situation. I offer a number of facts I believe the Board of Finance must account for to establish the budget. They are broken out by expense and income, but not in priority. One, Executive Order 7R from Governor Lamont requires school districts to continue to employ or restore employment and pay school staff who are directly employed by the local Board of Education. There's zero cost savings for this year's BOE budget, which was already struggling with an extraordinary deficit. COVID-19 response expenditures assumed by the town of Monroe this and next year are not budgeted expenditures, and while we may see some state or federal reimbursement, we do not know when. Additionally, when we reopen town functions like our schools, parks, and libraries, what new costs will impact operational expenditures? Capital expenditure delays, while prudent in time like these, most likely translate into higher future expenditures. While a number of operational budget expenses might be mitigated by a suspension of services,
honey,
so should revenue also be...
Look at your phone. Aaron tried to call on a video chat, and I had to cut him off.
We must consider the state aid severely impacted. Town income will be severely impacted, as previously mentioned. The plummeting skip rate and lack of cash on hand will kill investment and opportunity to bolster investment income. Every town department which generates revenue will see massive reductions in said revenue. Property taxes are already expected to be adversely impacted so much that the unprecedented action of a tax deferment or low interest on delinquent taxes was recently taken up by the Monroe Town Council. It is worth noting that the town council chose a low interest option in part of the fear the town would run out of money under the deferment option. The Board of Finance has discussed the possibility that it should cut the collection rate by almost 10%. To use the word unprecedented is an understatement. Monroe had always enjoyed tax collections which exceeded the 99% level established by the Board of Finance and the Tax Collector's Office. In conclusion, I wish none of these were under consideration, but wishing isn't a strategy, nor is it going to change our current reality. For the first time in history, we need to consider the possibility of running out of money or that property taxes might not get paid. Fortunately for the residents of Monroe, the Board of Finance has been diligently strengthening Monroe's fiscal position over the past decade. Our debt is controlled, our pensions well funded, our fund balance is healthy. Our Board of Finance members all have some professional connection to finance in their background. I know that as you navigate these turbulent times as elected officials, your goal will be the town's survival and reemergence stronger than ever. Thank you for your service. Respectfully, Pat O'Hara. All right. Jessica Balduzon. Dear Finance Board, I write to you as a Monroe resident who greatly values public education as a product of Monroe Public Schools. I graduated from Massac in 2009 and benefited tremendously from all of Monroe Public Schools offered. I am now a teacher of English to students of other languages in Bridgeport. I know what it is to lose funding and work in a classroom where one comes out of pocket countless times in an effort to promote equity and equal opportunity. I have no reason to believe that teachers anywhere should feel personally compelled to take such action in order to have the resources needed to support individual student learning. It goes without saying that this pandemic is interrupting education. More generally, the time out of school will have impact on students. I suspect that any given classroom will have students enter with even greater variances in terms of ability and exposure based on how their distance learning is going now. Teachers will be faced with the need to further individualize instruction and support. Please do not forget how challenging educating a single child is, or the many comments made praising teachers to teach digitally. Please stand with the teachers and students and avoid making cuts to education budgets that would have negative implications in the classroom. Students everywhere deserve a right to learn in an environment that supports them and has their best interests in the forefront of decision-making. No matter your action, I will know that my federal educators will continue to do what's best for their children. It's nice to know Monroe is a town right too. Next is from Kristen O'Rourke. Good evening. As part of future students matriculating into public schools, an educator and a Monroe taxpayer, let me take a moment to express my unwavering support for the education and paraprofessionals that act as the heart and touchstone of this community. COVID-19 is an unprecedented circumstance that gives our small municipality a narrow margin from which to launch ourselves onto the right side of history and make the best choices for not only our students, but our collective futures. We have asked the educators in this town, in this state, in this nation to undertake the extraordinary task of adapting years of professional development, advanced degrees, experience, and training in the field of teaching, enrolling into a distance package that runs antithetical to the foundations of care, personal connection, and differentiation that lie at the core of everything we know. As teachers, our foundations have been rocked by this pandemic, as to that, our students. But with this scant time, little preparation, and limited resources, educators have risen to the occasion. Students in this town are learning. Issues of ability are being resolved. And at every turn, the dedication of those who choose an education as their calling are standing up to the needs of the students. I implore you, do not take this pandemic as an excuse to cut corners and break the promise you have made to teachers who strive to do the best not only for Monroe, but for the future of this country. Research substantiates that smaller class sizes constitute greater gains and improved mental health for students, as well as lower burnout rates in teachers, who I feel in smaller environments, they have adequate time to meet the needs of the students fully. This community negotiated the teacher's contract in good faith, and the educators have signed on to that obligation. They cannot and will not suddenly teach only 98% of the student population. Should you choose to cut the salaries and increases they have fairly bargained for, they would never refuse to teach their students who become overflow when the teacher's position is cut due to budgetary decisions. But every student in a class means much less time for all the rest. It's simple math. Add two students to a roster of 20 and 22 during an hour lesson. The educator may have 20 minutes for instructions, 40 minutes for working in small groups. That amounts to 2 minutes of individual time for students. With two more students, each student loses 10% of the teacher's attention, and that's just a single learning lesson, to say nothing of communicating with parents, working with special ed and support staff, and providing feedback to students on their work. If a teacher spends normally 20 minutes writing thoughtful feedback on the student of a draft of a writing assignment with an increased class size of just two students, they are either needing to find an additional 40 minutes of prep time in their already packed weeks, or each student is losing out on an average of 2 minutes of feedback per assignment. This can add up to lost individual growth potential, which harms the students in both the short and long term. Now more than ever, teachers are going to be expected to practice adaptability, flexibility in order to meet the needs of their students, making preemptive budget decisions that impede their ability to do their work with the fidelity, excellence, and consistency they are so well known for is a slap in the face of the commitment and dedication they've given the district. We live in town part because of the reputation of the school district and support of the community, from the school district to the town council to the local businesses and residents. We hope that our quite high tax rates and dedication to the town will be rewarded with blue ribbon education systems that have been promised with every tax payment we make. The children of this town are going to need more from us in the coming years as a result of this pandemic, and more from our teachers especially. It is both unjust and undignified to leverage the personal and economic tragedy of the COVID crisis and excuse to cut staffing and funds to the very system the people who rely on to prevent a future outbreak such as this. It is also unethical to break contractual obligations you have made to the teachers of this town due to a loophole in how budgetary decisions are made in this pandemic. Do not disrespect the heart of the town by asking its teachers to sacrifice themselves. They are already underpaid and underappreciated. Compounding by this further limitation, their resources in these uncertain times is a gross investment of the highest order. You are already asking them to do more with less. The educators and students of Monroe deserve better. They deserve more support, more funding, more resources, and more compassion. Please stand by the community's commitment to this effort and maintain the proposed school budget and teachers' contract in place. Next is from Susan Matola, to whom it may concern. As a parent of four children who graduated from the Monroe Public School System, as a special education teacher myself, I fully understand that our teachers are dedicated to the education of our students. Our family has always been proud to call Monroe our home, and our education system has played a tremendous role in fostering our sense of pride. The relationship we are formed with teachers along the way and the ample opportunity presented to our children helped them become who they are today. Teaching is one of the most important jobs a person can do. Not only does an excellent school system help educate our children and set them up for a positive future, but also draws new members into the community. There is a positive correlation between the exemplary school system and real estate value. Monroe was very hard hit when the market declined, and house values are nowhere near where they were around 2005, and the positive reputation of Monroe's school system declines, so too will our values. More importantly, as our schools begin to reopen, our students will look forward to being back in their secure environment. Teachers will need to support each child in individual ways that are beyond anything that has been done before. We do not know how this current environment is going to affect students' mental health. Making premature budget decisions that lead to cutting staff is in direct conflict with this. The children of Monroe will need more from us, not less. Thank you for taking your time to thoroughly consider the importance of this decision. Next is from Nicholas DePunti, 42 Boot Shop Lane. Good evening. I'm not in support of cutting our town's education budget. Our teachers do a great job with limited resources they have at this point. Cutting the education budget will have a significant negative impact on our schools, student performance, and ultimately our property values. When we return to the schools after missing a lot of time due to COVID, they will need more support and attention than ever before. We should be looking at ways of providing this to them. Also, people move to our town mainly for the school district. My family did this in 2014. This move puts us further away from work, and many of the businesses we used to be happy to make the move, knowing we were moving into a community that valued education and families. Our neighbors agreed, and they moved here for the same reason. I'm asking that as you review your budget for the upcoming year, you consider the increase in the education budget to be more in line with the Board of Ed requested and not make any more cuts. Next is from John Biasi. To whom it may concern, our teachers are dedicated to the education of our students. We believe that as a result of this pandemic, our students' abilities could be at a range never foreseen. When we return to the classroom, teachers will need to support each child as an individual in ways that are beyond anything that has been done before. Making premature budget decisions that lead to cutting staff is in direct conflict with this. The children of Monroe will need more from us, not less. Education will continue to do its best for the children of Monroe. Next is from Amy Myers. Our teachers are dedicated to the education of our students. We believe that as a result of this pandemic, our students' abilities could be at a range never seen before. When we return to the classroom, teachers will need to support each child as an individual in ways that are beyond anything that is done before. Making premature budget decisions that lead to cutting staff is in direct conflict with this. The children of Monroe will need more from us, not less. Education will do, continues to do, for the children of Monroe. Board of Finance members, the teachers of Monroe are dedicated to the education of our students. It's Brian Humble. Teachers of Monroe are dedicated to the education of our students. These unfortunate times have shown how important we are to the community. We also foresee that our work will be even more difficult and more important when we return to the classroom due to mists. This spring, teachers will need to support each child as an individual in ways that are beyond anything that is done before. Making premature budget decisions that lead to cutting staff are in direct conflict with this. Children of Monroe will need more from us, not less. Educators will continue to do what's being best for the children of Monroe. Gothica Faircourt does not have an address. I recall we voted against the town passing budgets without a vote, delay the vote, or allow us to vote wearing masks. If you pass a budget without a vote, there will be lots of lawsuits. Everyone on my street is furious. What are you attempting to do is completely fascist. Okay. Jennifer Morrison, 2264 Porter's Hill Road. I have an elementary age child at Monroe Elementary School. I am deeply concerned about his return to school for many reasons. The school will need every resource possible to keep the kids healthy and educated to the standards we expect from a school located in Fairfield County. We live in this town because of the amazing schools. Please do not limit resources, especially staff. They are excellent and will absolutely need them to return. Janice Persico, please don't mess with the education budget. I'm fine paying more taxes to keep our schools running the way they should be. Good schools is a huge Monroe strength, and I'd like to keep it that way. I have two autistic daughters in STEM at the moment, and one daughter in STEP. The care and education they have received has been phenomenal, and we wouldn't want it. Wouldn't be where we are today if not for the amazing teachers and staff. Please give them everything they need, especially now when the future is so unsettled. Rachel Abraham, 14 Holly Lane. As a mother of three children in our school system and a licensed clinical social worker, I encourage you to strongly protect our schools. The COVID-19 crisis has put tremendous stress on our children. Schools will need to be better equipped to meet their emotional and educational needs. Cutting more to our school's budget will destroy our greatest asset in town. I appreciate that families are struggling financially, as we cannot be short-sighted. The crisis will take years to undo. Please don't make our children suffer more than they already have. Next one is from Nick Kapoor, 109 Meadows End Road, Monroe. I submit these comments in my capacity as a member of the Board of Education. My comments below do not constitute the opinion of the board as a whole, or do they reflect the opinions of any other board member, staff, or the Board of Education. Education is truly a foundation of our democracy. It is required in the state constitution that a free and appropriate public education student is given to our students. We see study after study that shows emotional and mental well-being of students is improved due to an exceptional K-12 education. Long-term earning potential is increased with obtaining a bachelor's degree and getting into a higher institution. It is due largely in part to the quality of the K-12 education. Even if a college is not the correct path for a student, an extraordinary K-12 education is the foundation for a career in our armed forces or a particular trade. Monroean education is one that's envied in our region. The Monroe Board of Education has done more with less in the past, but we must evaluate where we are now in providing a world-class education to our students. Class sizes are large. In elementary school, we have class sizes of 23-24. Our budget cuts are going to affect staffing. If social distancing measures are instituted for us to reopen in the fall, how is that going to be accomplished with 25 to 26 second graders in one room? How will social distancing be accomplished on our buses? The simple answer is it won't. Costs are going to go up. How are we supposed to provide a Monroe education with further reductions to the budget? A further reduction to the Board of Ed budget puts the legitimacy and prestige of our education system at risk. It does not take a large logical leap to see another seven-figure hit. The education budget threatens programs and foundational structures that make Monroe education a Monroe education. Although anecdotal evidence is not scientific and does not illustrate a trend, I have spoken to several families who are concerned about the cuts to our education system. They moved to Monroe for its schools, and now the schools are being put at risk. It is unfortunate in a year that was already going to be difficult for the Board of Ed, we are not being allowed to vote on our budget as customary every year. This pandemic is nothing like the Great Recession of 08-09. Even though our economy was faltering, our education system continued to operate, albeit with much less. In the years just after the recession, the Board of Ed took 2 years of consecutive zeros. In our current situation, our education system has had to pivot, and quickly it is safe to assume that students will be coming back not at appropriate grade levels. All teachers and aides will be working harder than even in the upcoming fall to get students prepared for the academic year to come. All schools will need more staff, not less, to get students where they are supposed to be. Anybody's guess as to what public schools will look like if we do not open schools regularly in the fall and must continue with distance education is a valid one. Public education system does not just affect the students. It's a simple exercise to look at the GRG map and compare it to the mill rates to see the quality of a public education system directly correlates to property values. Keeping the quality of our education system keeps property values high and has an impact on our mill rate, even if it might be indirectly. Over the decades, Monroe has been known for its budget battles. No matter how many times Monroe went to the ballot box for its budget referendum, once things stayed true, it is very difficult to get things back that are cut. Should another cut come to the Board of Ed, then the Board of Ed must make very difficult decisions on its budget. It could be years until some things come back into the budget, if ever. The fiscal year 22 budget is going to possibly be more difficult than the current 21 budget, assuming it's safe to go back to the polls in May 2021. I think it's improbable that we'll be able to put back all the cutting out this year that results in a high percentage mill rate that the voters of Monroe will most likely reject. I do not envy your position or the vote you will soon have to take on our town's budget, but please realize the impacts of your vote will be felt for years to come. All right. The next is from Michelle K., 78 K. Bauer Road, Monroe. Why are we still paying the previous superintendent's salary? Next is from Elizabeth Takis, 41 Heather Road. I oppose any reduction to the education budget and recognize the budget may in fact need to increase in response to COVID-19 mandated changes to education delivery. I oppose any reduction to the library budget and would in fact support an increase in the library budget as this resource will be invaluable to the community. as we face a long economic recovery and access to no-charge services will be critical for residents. Taxes will inevitably be raised if we want to maintain high-quality education. From Kristen Rotherham, 44 Hiram Hill, please do not make any additional cuts to the Monroe school budget. The upcoming year is going to require unprecedented adaptability and training on the part of teachers, administrators, and other staff at Monroe Public Schools in order to keep the children safe. Schools lie at the heart of our community and need to be properly funded in order to maintain the excellence that is a hallmark of this town. Jessica Katsuka, 62 Blankwood Meadow. I am writing again to implore you to pass the education budget that was presented to Mr. Kellogg earlier in the year. Most of the parents that I talked to moved in town for the educational system that we have. So we work in Westport, Stamford, New York City, and only live here for the quality education. If we start breaking apart the system year by year by reducing training and increasing class size, we will lose those residents. These are the people with solid jobs. These are the people who want to retain as a taxpaying citizens. These are the people means to locate in the middle of an economic downturn. Please should not make these group citizens look for houses elsewhere in a town that appreciates their schools. Next is from Melissa Timmons, Three Meadowview Terrace. I would like our town to consider keeping our educational budget as close to the current budget as possible. There is no need for the future of our children to suffer more than it already has and will. The decisions we make now, we know, will affect the rest of their lives. Keeping high-quality teachers and teachers' age will appreciate class sizes should be top priority. I would encourage the board and town to find other ways to decrease costs. Katie Poole, 32 Woods Road. I am writing to give the support for the Monroe budget for the 2021 fiscal year. I'm a teacher and I know how important funding is to provide a quality education to the students in Monroe. This is a particularly challenging year for us as educators and for our students. Now more than ever, we need to show our support and ensure that the school system has the funding necessary to provide quality services to our students. Deborah Hansen, 25 School Street. Please fund the schools for the amount that has been requested by the Board of Education. Funding our schools not only is an investment in our children, it's an investment in our town. Schools drive the value of our town and our community buildings that host many events. Jaron Woodford, 10 Saxony Drive. Whenever there's an economic downturn of any kind, the Board of Finance looks to help by slashing the education budget. There's an ill-conceived notion that there's padding, waste, and fluff there. Monroe teachers have done a fantastic job year after year. Cut after cut, this year isn't way different. With no advance notice, no advanced training, they have become distant learning educators. The town is saving costs of busing, copy paper, electricity, regardless of the reentry plan for opening school. These frontline essential workers have been there for the children of this town. They're sitting in a computer hour after hour, designing and delivering lessons to keep the kids learning. Are we slapping them instead of thanking them? I grew up in this town. I felt the cuts as a kid. I tried to paint with the cheap brushes that theirs fell out and ruined my work. I experienced program cuts. I saw my teacher bring in scraps of copy paper pipe to make bracelets because we couldn't get quality supplies. I carried my books on my laptop from Massac to Chalk Hill so we could save on moving costs. It's a real shame. I understand the entire world took COVID hit, our family as well, so maybe consider no new initiatives or programs this year, maybe no unnecessary projects on properties, but all the teachers will be needed because kids will suffer a setback as return. As hard as we all try, there is no substitute for a teacher, and huge class size because of cutting staff is another nail in the coffin. Please, please, think of your fine human beings giving you everything you've got for your kids. Do not cut teachers or supplies. It hurts our kids. It hurts their families. It hurts our home values and reputation. Think before you act. Next is Hector Rios. Teachers are the souls of our schools. They deserve a raise after going beyond our distant learning during this pandemic. Teachers deserve my respect. Increased funding for schools, not cuts. Giovanna Bianco, 78 Heather Road. Our public schools need to remain intact without further cuts. These large class sizes for K-5 are unacceptable, especially in these times. No parent or teacher wants to be packed in a room with 25 children. They are breeding grounds for germs. Monroe for the school systems, and every year more and more gets taken away. Further cuts will only diminish the quality of our schools. Alexandra Mack, 115 Williamsburg Drive. Please do not bleed our schools. I know times are tough for everyone, and folks don't want to pay more taxes, but the schools are our future. Andrew Vincent, reduced budget. Susan Fink, 118 for Horizon Drive. Please fund the schools at the level Mr. Kellogg presented at the beginning of the year with no further cuts. Our school system is very important to the town. We need to maintain training and staffing levels for our award-winning school. Please do not cut funding further. Douglas Fink, 118 for Horizon Drive. Please consider funding our school system to the full extent recommended by Ken Kellogg. We need the well-trained teachers and staff to keep Conroe education up to the current high levels of success. Times are tough, but education is the utmost importance. All right. Allison Sorrell. I am against the current proposal to keep the budget flat to last year. I am not saying that we do not need to keep the budget proposal from February, but the approach to set an arbitrary number without any semblance of plan is foolhardy. I understand there is a lot of uncertainty now. I also understand a lot of people have lost their jobs. I am one of those people. It's a scary place to be, but the reality is keeping the tax rate the same does not help me now. Instead, the better use of time would be to work on options and programs to help us residents that are out of work and have trouble paying taxes when due. I understand the largest component of the budget is the school budget. I have read all year about a tremendous shortfall due to health insurance claims and special ed needs. In addition, I can personally speak to the large class size. My first grader has it, Stephanie L. I am disappointed that what is an important issue to me will not be addressed in the current budget gap for the school. Asking the school district to not be allowed any increase will only create more disadvantages for our students. The past couple of months have been hard for our children. To think they will not go back to school where they should be ignoring is a reality. Assuming school in the fall will look the same as it did before coronavirus is a mistake. Thinking through the potentially unlikely accommodations that will have to be made in order to make up the learning gap and be able to return to in-person school, what the budget will look like is the prudent step right now. Again, I'm not saying the budget has to go forward as is, but blindly cutting funds out of fear is not the answer. Keeping the budget flat and assuming a larger increase will be possible in 2 years is ignoring history. Being thoughtful and having a plan is a solution, as I expect of our elected officials. What money do we think we can impact? We can cut with the lowest impact. What expenses not considered 3 months ago before coronavirus? Should we provide contingency plans in order to cover? What programs and assistance can we give those that are out of work during this time that will not sacrifice the funds that can be afforded by the majority of the taxpayers? What grants are available for any gaps, and who has the skill set to secure those? No one likes paying taxes when everybody... When asked, everybody will always say they want to pay less. You have taken on one of the difficult jobs of doing what is best for the town, financially not what is popular. Please do not make a reactive choice. I implore you only make changes to the budget with a roadmap for how they will be achieved and a clear explanation to the taxpayers on the impacts we will feel based on the cuts. Mark Abraham, 14 Holly Lane. We cannot take away from education, period. A town like ours is only as good as our schools. It has a direct correlation to the property values. Stacey Sickerman, 78 Richard Drives. I implore you to not make any further cuts to the budget. The teachers and administrations have been teaching with a budget freeze the past 2 years and are likely going to next year with another one. There is no money to replace ink in the printers. The teachers are already experiencing the problem of being home and working 10 hours a day from home. It would be shameful to another huge cut on top of that. Our schools are great for a reason. By making these cuts, you not only affect the current Monroe students attending, but any future Monroe students wanting to move here for our great schools. I am not happy that my taxes have almost doubled since I moved here 10 years ago, but I also recognize the importance of good education and placing high value along with our teachers. You should too. The schools are the reason we choose Monroe. Maureen McCullen, 16 Harvester Road. I just wanted to voice my concern regarding the budget. I am hoping no further cuts will be made to the education budget as presented by the Board of Ed and Ken Kellogg. I know these are difficult times, but education is of the utmost importance to me, my family, and this community. Thank you for supporting the families we live here. Amy Pinella, 25 Horizon Court. To whom it may concern, I am writing to encourage you to support the Board of Education budget in the Monroe for the 2021 school year. My husband and I have moved to Monroe 7 years ago, specifically for the quality of education Monroe would provide for our three children. We have been happy with our decision. Our daughter in eighth grade, our middle son in seventh grade, both at Stanton. Our youngest son is a fourth grader at Stephanie. All three of our students have dedicated and talented teachers, have participated in many of the programs they offer. With a budget that does not provide funds for our school system, it is possible to provide the students of the Monroe the high quality education they deserve and the town expects. It is especially imperative to fund our schools presently with student learning at home through distance learning. Our students will need all the academic and emotional support and resources available to come back from this type of learning. with the uncertainty of the start of school in the fall, as discussed by the Connecticut Commissioner of Education, this is not the time to cut school budgets. I am not only a parent in Monroe, but I am a literacy consultant in another town and see firsthand the support many students will need once we return to school to be successful. I urge you to do the right thing for Monroe students and support the Board of Education budget during a time when our children will need it most. Next is from Christine Paredes, 100 Harvester Road. Monroe teachers are the heart and soul of the community. I have personally seen the dedication of teachers with personal phone calls and connections for my children that supports their education during these unprecedented times. When it's time to return to the classroom, I believe we will see a range of needs that we've never seen, ranging from academic needs, social, emotional needs that will need to be supported in a classroom on a daily basis. Teachers will need to support each child as an individual in ways that are beyond anything that we've done before. Making premature budget decisions that lead to staff cutting is a direct conflict with this. Monroe teachers and children will need more support from us, not less. We need to be in this together and support one another, and making premature budget cuts will make it more challenging to do that. Joe Majerski, 319 Barnhill Road. Is there a way to cut the amount of paras in the high school to help cut expenses? I teach in an urban district in the upper grades. I have never been able to have a para assigned to my class. The only time I did this was when one para serviced four teachers. I feel it is a luxury in these times of economic stress on families. Taxes should be frozen, expenses cut if at all possible. John Brian Donnelly, 7 Hemlock Road. Education was the sole reason we looked to Monroe when we moved here 4 years ago. I feel disappointed in our decision, and we're looking to move out of Monroe if the cuts continue. Education is all Monroe has to offer. Keep taking from the budget, and you will decimate your residential tax base. Now we'll move in, and people such as myself will leave for better systems. Teresa Shields Lanford, 71 Harvest Array. I urge you to keep the budget flat and not take any further money from it. We will likely need to be creative in terms of school education moving forward. The children are already at an education, already at a disadvantage with distance learning. I would hate to see decisions being made that would not be beneficial to the children of this town because you removed education funds to the budget. Thank you. Kristen Glick, 41 Great Elk Farm. I wholly oppose the cuts to the proposed Monroe school budget. These cuts will be devastating to the education ability my children deserve. I moved to this town for a school district. Making cuts not only greatly affect our children's ability to learn effectively, but it will also make this town no more than a park with moderate schools at best. Next is from Brandy Otis, 43 Old Castle Drive. I'm writing in support of the Board of Education budget 2021. Please make no further cuts. As our children have been in a distance learning model for 2 months, we need to prepare to offer them the fullest support in the fall, both academically and socially and emotionally. Please keep the budget intact. Kerry Villaverde, 32 Watch Hill Road. Thank you for listening to my comments. I'm still not quite wrapped head around the new normal. I don't know how we will return safely to our schools. And despite the obvious state of the economy and unemployment rate, I beg you not to cut further from the education budget. Kids are going to need more support next year. Admittedly, our whole system of education funded, depending on property taxes, is broken and creates one of, if not the largest, educational opportunity going on right here in the state. We cannot let the kids down right now. It is our duty as a society to educate all children to the best of our ability. I fear what havoc more cuts would create. Monroe's education system and the teachers and administrators that keep it going are the single best thing about Monroe. We also have an obligation to protect them and their jobs, many of whom live right in town. The school system is why many of us have chosen to make them our own home, and it's certainly the best thing keeping us here. Katie Briggs, 11 Cannon Way. Please consider funding the schools at the level First Select and Ken Kellogg presented at the beginning of the year. Times are certainly tough during this unprecedented time, but our schools and children's education remain important even in tough times. We need to maintain training and staffing levels for our award-winning schools, especially the challenges that our district may face returning to schools in the fall. Now is not the time for cutting staff or increasing class sizes as a result of underfunding. Alan Bagliavello, 25 School Street. There's no way to sugarcoat it. The unprecedented interruption of the current academic year will create learning loss for children. For some, that loss will be severe. We know coming back to the start of the school year next year, the students are going to have even more needs than we're used to seeing, and we're not going to have have even less funds to meet those needs than we have ever had. Education leaders have warned that the COVID crash will be far worse than the widely acknowledged summer slide that many students experienced and the break. Researchers at NWEA conclude that students will return to classrooms with roughly one-third less learning grades and reading 50% less in math related to a typical school year, and in some grades nearly a full year behind what we would observe in normal conditions. Those learning losses are likely to persist during a child's entire academic career and extend through their lifetime. For a child who does not learn to read by the third grade, for example, is significantly more likely to drop out before high school graduation. Our schools must meet the needs of all students, especially students most vulnerable to education disruptions. Many students receiving special education services have been disproportionately impacted by school closures. The next iteration of education will look far different from the classrooms and students abruptly departed in March. The new landscape will include one-way hallways, teachers and kids in masks, lunch inside classrooms instead of cafeterias. Buses may run half empty, and students may have their temperature read before entering the building. I hope you'll consider the implication large school cuts will have on educational programming and student outcomes. Next is Kristen Kellogg, Santa Lane. Please consider keeping with Ken Kellogg's proposed budget for schools in February 2020. To sacrifice our schools is to do a huge disservice to the town. People move here and remain here because the schools are so strong and the quality of our town must protect. Barbara Farr, 233 Meadows End Road. Dear Board of Finance, I would ask that you make decisions regarding Monroe's next year's spending plan and a conservative approach be taken. The uncertainty of the long-term financial impact on our local economy due to COVID is high, and thus the impact on our residents and their ability to fund town's expenses at risk. I understand the decision to tap the town's reserve to help offset the tax implications for our citizens. However, tapping into the piggy bank instead of really cutting expenses is a short-term solution. As an individual, if I lose income, I can tap into my savings for a while, but I have to cut expenses. If I'm going to not go into debt, I cannot just expect that my job when I return is going to give me a raise to refill my savings and thus let me continue my prior standard of living. I know government doesn't think that way, but it should. Expenses are a must, not just keeping the increase at zero by using savings. The money coming from the reserve fund will have to be replaced as a result of the tax increase is really just being postponed to another year, not actually a zero increase in expected spending. I urge you to act conservatively, pressure all departments, especially the Board of Ed, to understand the standard of living has changed, must change due to COVID, and please make actual cuts to the spending plan for next year, like the residents' huge responsibility it will be to repay the piggy bank. Marissa Donnelly, 7 Hemlock Road. I ask you consider funding schools at levels Ken Kellogg presented in February 2020. Times are tough, and our schools and our kids are important. We need to maintain training and staffing levels for our award-winning schools. Marita M., 871 Main Street. How will the COVID-19 pandemic impact Monroe's budget economy in every category, and what the plan to repair or recover our negatively impacted economy? Will taxes increase? How about property taxes? In my opinion, I believe that we should lower property taxes to attract more buyers in the town of Monroe. Vincent Carbone, 16 Tulip Drive. I am a parent of four children that have gone through the Monroe school system. I am very happy with the school system in this town. I support the school system's budget and would not like to see cuts. Beth Carbone says, Monroe, I am in favor of supporting the Monroe Public Schools. We need to encourage and pour into the children and youth. They are the future. Sarah Barnes, 12 Old Lion Lane. Please consider funding the schools at the levels Ken Kellogg presented in February 2020. Times are tough, but our schools, our kids are important. We need to maintain training and staffing levels for our award-winning schools. Last one. Elena Riley, 158 Williamsburg Drive. I am writing both as a parent and a teacher. I have one child at Massac and another in middle school. I also teach middle school in another town in Connecticut. The reason we decided to move to Monroe is because of the excellent school systems. It would be very irresponsible of me to ignore the hard freeze being proposed onto the teachers in the town of Monroe. I am completely opposed to it, and the fact of the matter is the town needs to look elsewhere when looking to make budget cuts. The teachers are always the first thought and the easy target. As everyone knows, in time of need, distance learning has become a new way of teaching. This new way was able to be put into effect in less than 2 weeks by the teachers of this town. They have been spending countless hours learning new technology, creating lessons with that new technology, holding Google Meets, when students are available, not always only when a teacher can meet and grading, all this at the same time holding their students accountable for the work to be completed. They're even holding virtual meetings with parents when requested last minute. The positive never give up attitude has been nothing short of extraordinary. My children's questions and struggles have been answered and addressed through private comments, emails, and individual whole class meets. While implementing all of this, the teachers are also consistently updating parents and communicating any new information in order to make sure we are all in the loop. The work they are doing is not only during school hours, but through the day and into the evening and night. This allows us to make sure our children feel safe and not forgotten and have been nothing short of organized, available, determined, motivated, and continue to be creative in the different ways that they craft assignments for the students. The mere fact that this is the town looking to make cuts disturbs me. Where is the idea of children first? The town needs to spend more time looking in other places where cuts are more feasible and won't affect the pocket of middle-class residents. Here's an excellent example. My neighbor had big trash pickup the other day. There were six men who came to work. Two were actually working while the other four just stood watching. I don't see my tax dollars hard at work other than providing them for my children's teachers. Education is the future for our children. Our children are our future. Please keep this in mind as your driving force when looking to make cuts. There were no further written submissions in my possession as of 5 p.m. this evening. I want to remind everyone we will continue to receive input until the budget has been adopted. Before I open the lines, please note the following. The purpose of this public hearing is to receive input on the fiscal year 2021 budget. Please limit your comments to this subject. Please begin your comments by clearly stating your name and address with spelling for the record. Once I open the phone lines, a standard recording will state that a question and answer session has started. Please be clear this is not... This is when you will be able to indicate your desire to speak. However, it is not a question and answer session. We invite you to provide your comments. However, please do not expect the board to answer any questions at this time. Once we open the session, you will be prompted to enter star 6 on your phone to indicate your desire to speak. You will then be placed on a list. When it is your turn, you will hear the recording. The line has been unmuted, and please ask your question. This is an indication it's your turn to speak. Okay, I will now ask the phone lines to be open for all those wishing to speak. We'll wait a couple minutes to gather the list, and I'll ask for a select and to confirm once we are ready to begin. Ken, you want to start it up?
Okay, stand by. If anyone is wishing to speak, please press star 6 on your phone. Okay, Mike, you should be unmuted. I have one person who's in queue. I will start the I will open the lines. Hold on.
Thank you.
Hello?
Go ahead, your line is open.
Yep, we can hear
you. Oh, okay. I know that people have been saying, are we allowed to ask questions
we have
or are we
name
just
and address? Make, no, we need your name and address,
Elena,
and we're not taking questions. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's Elena Riley, 158 Williamsburg Drive.
Perfect. Go ahead.
Oh, is this, I can ask a question or just make a statement?
We're just taking comments on the budget. We're not doing a question and answer tonight. If you want to email a question, I'm happy. I respond to all the emails that come in, but we're not doing questions and answers tonight.
Okay. I guess then, I mean, I can definitely ask my questions, then I can email you, but one of the things that I was hoping that the, and I'm sure that you guys have looked at, but just in regards to the fact that since the schools have been closed, that I'm assuming that there have been some savings that have happened in regards to the utilities in the buildings at the schools, the substitutes that have not been necessarily needed as much, and also the transportation, the buses. So I just was hoping that there were, and possibly any other accounts that could be taken into account as far as places where maybe there's a possibility where you could create a non-lapsing account, which the state right now is allowing. So that was basically just my comment, is to try to look, which I'm sure you guys are doing. I just wanted to put, I guess, my two cents in, and I work in the district as well, and just mention the fact that obviously there have to be savings somewhere else where hopefully that money can then be put into an account to allow for our budget not to have to be cut so drastically, especially on the school side.
Thank you.
That's it.
There is anyone else who'd like to speak, please press star 6 on your phone. Mike, I see no one in queue. I don't know if you want to ask one more time.
Okay. We'll ask one more time. We'll give them one more minute.
All right. Anyone else? Last call. Press star 6 on your phone if you wish to speak.
All right. Hearing none, well, I guess we will close this out. On behalf of the entire Board of Finance, I thank everybody for their input. This board certainly appreciates hearing everyone's perspective, and we'll take it into consideration as we conduct our budget meeting and deliberate on a final budget. There is no further business. I hereby declare this public hearing adjourned at 6:51.